New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. We have two CBS News New York Times polls this evening. If the U.S. left Iraq now, is that the same as losing? CBS News Director of Surveys, Kathleen Frankovic.
A majority of Americans do not believe that withdrawing American troops from Iraq now would mean defeat for the United States. 52% say that, in opposition to what the president has said recently.
This is Dan Revive. In a CBS News radio interview, the top U.S. general in Iraq, George Casey, said he did think he could reduce the number of U.S. troops, perhaps by about 20,000 by the end of this year, but that won't happen.
There was a plan. It wasn't tied to Christmas. It was tied to the conditions on the ground and the progress with the Iraqi security forces.
And that hasn't been sufficient. It appears U.S. troop strength in Iraq will remain above 140,000 for at least the next 6 months.
The other poll, the 2006 midterm elections, Congress competes with the president for command of the rating cellar. Only 25% of Americans approve of the job Congress is doing. A break in the E. coli spinach case, a New Mexico lab found the germ in a package.
This was an open package of spinach that was labeled dull baby spinach, best if used by August 30th.
That's the FDA's Dr. David Acheson. More than 140 people have gotten sick in 23 states. Suspect number two is in jail, turned himself in Pittsburgh in connection with the shooting and wounding of five Duquesne University basketball players for allegedly making passes at a man's girlfriend. Joy without boundary at Abby Wood's home in Missouri, now that she's back, and the woman who stole her has been arrested and charged.
Franklin County Prosecutor's Office has charged Sharon K. Torres, also known as Sharon K. Beck, with one count of the Class A felony of assault in the first degree on Stephanie Oceanbine by stabbing and cutting her.
That's Franklin County, Missouri Prosecutor Robert Parks. The woman's sister-in-law turned her in when she saw makeup covering the baby's birthmark. The idea is to make sure that people who vote are legal to do so.
House Republicans say they're worried about election fraud and non-citizens voting, so the measure would require a photo ID to vote in the next presidential election, and after that, a photo ID that proves citizenship, something states would have to come up with. Democrats call this an underhanded effort to reduce voting by minority groups that generally don't support Republicans, and judges have already blocked state laws in Missouri and Georgia that sought to require photo IDs to vote.
The economy is growing 2 to 3%, slow enough now that the Federal Reserve decided to leave interest rates alone.
It's very much as steady as she goes, but the Fed is also going to maintain its credibility as an inflation fighter, saying very clearly, if we start to see some upward pressure on prices, we won't hesitate to respond by raising interest rates to slow things down.
That's Hugh Johnson and Johnson Illington. On Wall Street today, the Dow responded with a gain of 72 points, NASDAQ up 30 points, and oil prices just over $60 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Yeah, since you guys have licensed insurance counselors, can you tell me how to break the news to my wife that I just bought a sports car?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed car insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical...
Will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, you will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio, available most states and situations.
You may have kids, but you don't have 10,000 of them to clean up after. Hi, I'm David Orrick. We're here at the local junior high school. The vacuum cleaner is my 8-pound Orrick XL. It's not only the head of the class at junior high, but in thousands of hotels around the world. To test it in your own home, free for 15 days or free brochure, call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200. Hey, if you don't like it, I'm not going to send you to the principal's office. I'll take it back.
You don't want to wait in line at Six Flags in Illinois? You don't have to for most of October.
They're crunchy on the outside, gushy on the inside, and they might just hiss at you before you toss them into your mouth. If you bite at the offer from Six Flags Great America to eat a live Madagascar cockroach, you'll get to jump to the front of a line for a ride next month. Vincent Olivares of the Notabart Nature Museum.
I've eaten mealworms, grasshoppers, crickets, termites, ants, dragonflies before, but I'm going to stay away from cockroaches.
The thought of eating a hissing cockroach might make you sick, but Olivares says eating one probably wouldn't. Bernie Tafoya, CBS News, Chicago.
Chinese worker with four jugs of beer in him hopped the fence at the Beijing Zoo to pet the panda. Gugu bit him on one leg, so he kicked the animal, and Gugu bit him on the other leg. Whereupon, the man hopped on the panda's back and bit him. Did almost no damage. Gugu won the fight. He's fine. The man's in the hospital with considerable stitchery. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's eight brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
Exactly.
Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new. Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer, like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000 mile warranty. That's eight brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
Oh, that's me. Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, progressive talk from the left coast. We got a lot going on today. We're going to try to jam as much as we can into the next 3 hours. As always, you're invited to participate. You can join the conversation toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, or when you say it real fast, 888-5-PETER-B. On today's program, in about half an hour, Sarah Olson will join us. She writes for truthout.org, and she has reported on the refusenik, Lieutenant Aaron Watata, and that has caused her to become a suspect in a case about freedom of the press and reporters' rights to maintain the privacy of their sources. We'll also talk about the impending jail time for two San Francisco Chronicle reporters who published grand jury testimony that suggests that Barry Bonds, the baseball slugger, lied to a grand jury. Also on today's program, Medea Benjamin. She is co-founder of Code Pink for Peace, and she's on site at Camp Democracy. It's got one more day to go in Washington, D.C. And we'll get a live report from Medea as she engages in a protest march right there in Washington. And we put a request in to talk to Howard Zinn, who is on site at Camp Democracy, too. We'll see if that pans out. And then a fascinating guest will join us halfway through the second hour. Lawrence Britt wrote a piece in 2003 identifying the 14 aspects of fascism. 14 defining characteristics of fascism, published in the spring of 2003. And we're going to talk about those and apply them to the current political situation in the United States. Yeah, Christo-fascism, you can say it. And then we head into the free speech zone in our third and final hour, where we take your phone calls on any issue from any viewpoint. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We kick off our program today with Larissa Alexandrovna. She's managing editor at rawstory.com and a regular contributor to the Peter B. Collins Show. Hello, Larissa.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay today. How about you?
I'm good. I'm not traveling anymore, so I'm happy.
Oh, that's nice. You're at your home base.
Yes.
Well, that makes it easier for the NSA to keep tabs on you.
That's right. You are absolutely right.
Well, you probably have drawn their interest at least to some extent because you have been on the front lines of the major story about the U.S. Building confrontation with Iran. And it was a fascinating series of events yesterday at the United Nations. And, of course, a lot of the focus was on, wow, will Bush actually run into Ahmadinejad in the hallway or in the men's room? And if so, what will happen? What will they say?
Like a divorced couple, yes. It's very bizarre why that's the interest as opposed to actual things going on.
Yeah. Well, I want to start off with Ahmadinejad, because Bush gave a fairly predictable speech, wasn't as bad as some people expected, wasn't as edgy as some people had predicted. But this leader of Iran, I think, has some of the populist appeal of Hugo Chavez of Venezuela. And many of his speeches, I think, are not really properly noticed and analyzed here in the United States. But he raised a subject again yesterday in his comments that he has talked about before. And that is, he is speaking for the rest of the world and saying that the order that was imposed by the victors of World War II is an outdated world order. And without invoking George H.W. Bush, Ahmadinejad essentially says it's time for a new world order with the U.S. and the other permanent members of the Security Council accepting a lower notch and greater equality with the other nations of the world. And while it's not popular in the United States, I think his arguments have real traction in most other countries around the world.
I think you're right. And the reason for that traction is because of the current U.S. policy. We've created essentially our own enemy out of the whole cloth, seemingly. The more any attempts are made to communicate with this administration, not just Iran, but other countries as well, they're really just sort of shoved aside and bullied. And because of this, people who would normally be seen as enemies, and we would be supported in seeing them that way, have become sort of cult heroes, and we have become the enemy, essentially. So I'm not surprised that he's getting traction, and Chavez is also getting traction. He can do no wrong, even when he calls our leader the devil, as he did. The thing is, we are in trouble when someone who is as extreme as Ahmadinejad can sound rational to us. While there is some debate about this new world order post-World War II and stuff, which is much more complicated than I think he explains or has been addressed, he nevertheless is fairly extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But when compared to our leadership, they seem about right on par with one another.
Well, and what I think is interesting is from the Arab Street perspective, the leadership in Tehran is consistent. The leadership in Tehran is tethered to its religious principles and largely operates within the framework that is, you know, commonly accepted.
Sure.
And here we have this president who talks about freedom and liberty while he is presiding over an occupation that is clear to Kofi Annan, to Ahmadinejad, and virtually everybody else who spoke yesterday to be a real failure that is in deep trouble. And so the Bush administration and the United States, by implication,
mm-hmm.
Suffer when we try to compare our actions with our words.
Sure, sure. But if you want to talk consistency, this is how this president supposedly won the last election, was that he, you know, was not flip-flopping, that he was consistent. And the problem is, regardless of what the world sees and how many of us here agree, the American public is seen as supporting this. So it doesn't really matter what the president says, as long as he is the leader of our country, we are seen as he is, in my opinion, and certainly with people I've talked to. There's a great deal of anti-American sentiment across the world, and it's increasing by the day. It really doesn't matter that what he says and that the rest of the world is skeptical or cynical of you know. For example, we're pursuing diplomacy with Iran, which is nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
The world sees and has seen what's going on. Just like, you know, our leadership says we do not torture, when the rest of the world knows that's not true.
As the president and the vice president dicker with the leaders in the Senate about just how much torture we can legalize.
Well, I think that has more to do with what's already happened. then with going forward, because they are, if you look at all the evidence, they are very much people who have in some way been part of war crimes, whether they actually gave the order or if their policies were so nebulous that the leadership of the military then pursued these types of techniques. The fact is, I think they're trying to get retroactive coverage for their bums.
Right.
I think that's all about.
Well, that's a very important point. They're seeking retroactivity on both the torture policy / commissions at Guantanamo and on the NSA spying program.
Well, and, on the one, unlike the NSA spying program, on the Geneva Convention, specifically Common Article 3, it doesn't matter what our Congress does because we are signatories to a treaty and the rest of the world doesn't need to go to our Congress to say this is legal or illegal.
Well, and that's a point that Ahmadinejad made yesterday.
Right.
He asked the United Nations, who do we go to when we need to enforce human rights violations against the U.S. or Britain?
Right, exactly. And that's... This is what I'm saying. You have, for the first time in history, I believe, since World War II, there was a British officer who was charged with war crimes. I believe it was yesterday or the day before, and I apologize. I've been sort of...
No, you're right. I saw the story.
I was on deadline. I'm on deadline, so I'm not even really awake anymore. you've got British and American troops... being charged with incredibly heinous acts. You've got coming out more and more what appears to be, and I've always reported and said, a blanket policy. It was not a few bad apples. It was a rotten orchard. You know, when Boykin headed from, General Boykin went from Guantanamo to Abu Ghraib.
That's General Jesus H. Boykin.
Right. He wants to give him a tie to the... yeah. Well, you know, the irony, of course, is that I was researching him recently for something entirely different. And it's amazing how similar his rhetoric is to that of certain Nazi generals who at the time... we're saying much the same thing he is saying now. I mean,
Larissa, I got to stop you there. The Nazi comparisons are the exclusive province of Republicans now. You didn't hear that executive order?
No, I did not. But you know what? I don't care because the reality is the reality. He believes that the president has been sent by God to lead us into this. Fight to cleanse the planet.
It's the third awakening. We've got the Jesus camp for kids set up. It's all pretty
scary.
Sure.
It's really disturbing. And so when this man uses the cloak of God, the flag, the banner, he rides it under the banner of God, and he brings with him dogs and torture techniques and mass murder of captured civilians. You know, as far as I'm concerned, these people have absolutely committed war crimes, I think.
We got to take a break, Larissa. We'll return in just a moment. Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. Call us at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 18 minutes past the hour. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. This week, meet James Ross, president and founder of National Real Estate Holdings. James will be talking about some great investment opportunities, including K-Club properties. Call him at 916-284-1732. That's this week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
Then they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Larissa from Raw Story. Yeah, what's so funny, huh?
What's so funny about this love and understanding?
Thank you, Evis. We continue with Larissa Alexandrovna. She's managing editor at RawStory.com, and I got the Raw Story up on my screen right now. Bush administration and Senate move to axe law to protect reporters. Well, we're going to talk about that issue coming up in the next segment with Sarah Olson from Truth Out. She's been in the crosshairs of the coverage of Aaron Watata, and they've squeezed her to become a witness in the prosecution of the lieutenant. Also on the Raw Story headlines, suppression. Pelosi slams GOP voter ID bill. That's a late-breaking surprise from Henry Hyde that we're very concerned about. And, Larissa, we got Steve on the line from Salinas. He wants to talk to us. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you. You were talking about Bush and the World Court of War Crimes. What has to happen in order for him to be charged with war crimes or crimes against humanity?
Well, I'm not sure I know the answer to that.
I don't either exactly, because I'm not an attorney, and I'm certainly not, I would say, well-versed on international law. That said, I imagine it would be very difficult, primarily because Normally, as we had talked about, Peter and I talked about, you know, countries look to Britain and the U.S. for leading this type of charge. And while other countries can seek a trial at The Hague, I just don't think it can happen given America's, you know, power. They'd have to literally come in here.
But haven't we
and
lost
remove...
a whole bunch of that?
I'm sorry?
Haven't we lost a whole bunch of that?
Well, we've lost prestige.
We've
I'm
lost
not sure
lead.
We've lost power.
We're not. For example, Henry Kissinger is wanted on war crimes for the coup in Chile.
Mm-hmm.
And he has yet to be brought up at The Hague. Donald Rumsfeld cannot land in Germany because German citizens were held at various locations. And so he's wanted on criminal charges. But to actually come in and get them is not something I see as doable. I think the best they can do is shame us into doing something ourselves, you know, or forcing Congress to.
Well, either that or, you know, a Spanish court might hold a trial in absentia. Something
well, I mean,
like
they've
that.
Done that in. They've already actually done that in many countries. They've done that
for
in
Pinochet.
Some of our ally countries, including mm-hmm. Turkey and Japan. They've already done this. The point is they haven't called the tribunal together and appointed judges to oversee, and I don't think they can because, and this may be why the U.S. is pushing so hard against the U.N., because I think they fear that we could, and we, you know, in all honesty, I think we have committed war crimes, and I think we should be held accountable. But I don't see that happening. It really, and I hate to quote Michael Ledeen on this, but during one of our interviews I did with him, you know, we talked about this very thing, and he too was very upset about the torture and all the stuff going on. And I said, who will hold us accountable? And he said, we will have to hold our leaders accountable. And that's, I think, the best we can do. I don't think the world can declare all-out war and come in and remove our leader. I just don't think it's a possibility.
Steve, we need some regime change in Washington.
Yeah.
And
I fear
the precedent of that also. You know, all of this is very frightening, mm-hmm. no matter how it plays out.
And you know, impeachment, even if, you know, if he's impeached, he wouldn't be convicted, and he wouldn't even be embarrassed.
Well, he's not embarrassed. You know, this that I think we can all agree on already. I don't think he'll be impeached because I think he'll probably do what his father did and pardon all of the witnesses against him. So I just don't see this being resolved. I don't think the Constitution, as a wonderful and, you know, living and breathing and adaptive as it is, I don't think it accounted for something this undemocratic, this extreme. Mm-hmm. And so when Congress won't impeach, and if they do, the president can pardon the witnesses. We're really at a stalemate, and I'm not sure. I'm not a legal scholar, but I think if you talk to legal scholars, especially constitutional scholars, they'll tell you that. They are very concerned. That I've heard. They're very concerned. Where, you know, I've heard things like constitutional crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard things like uncharted waters. But they're really. I don't know how this could be dealt with. I think we need. You know, you should have a legal scholar on, Peter.
All right. Thank you for the call, Steve and Larissa. Thanks for joining us today. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
And we should be watching Raw Story tomorrow for a new report from you, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll check it out.
Okay.
Thanks, Larissa Alexandrovna, managing editor at RawStory.com. Coming up next, Sarah Olson from TruthOut.com, .org, I guess they are, joins us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family owned for 30 years, is where partnership works.
Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake Elistero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for Tasty News shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
I'd say that's enough commercials for a while. Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. You can email me anytime, peter@peterbcollins.com, and I welcome your comments and your input. Some of the best research we get for this radio program comes from listeners like you. You're also welcome to call in whenever the urge strikes you, as long as the First Amendment is in full effect, and we checked it is. 888-5-PETER-B is my number, toll free. That's 888-573-8372. Your calls are subject to interception by the National Security Agency. And we like to greet our minder, Benny, over there at NSA. Hey, Benny. What's up? And joining us for the first time on the program today is a reporter for TruthOut.org. She is Sarah Olson. Sarah, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and I've got a whole range of things that I want to cover with you. You have been front and center in coverage of the case of Lieutenant Aaron Watata, a refusenik who has declined to return to duty in Iraq. I want to talk to you about that. You also, in that case, have been drawn into the reporter shield issues that are front and center with Josh Wolf, who was sent back to his sentence for contempt, and two San Francisco Chronicle reporters who may get jailed as early as tomorrow for refusing to disclose sources in the Balco Barry Bonds case. But first up, I wanted to ask you about a piece that you published either yesterday or today at Truth Out about the marches at the United Nations in New York yesterday.
Sure.
It's kind of interesting because the, as you report, the New York City Police Department really made it very hard for these individuals to express their First Amendment rights.
It's true. And what is also true is that it's this kind of thing, this suppression of constitutionally protected rights to assemble and to speak and to dissent in this country, are increasingly under attack throughout the country. There's, new kind of researching the article, there's, you know, just numerous examples from the last couple of years where people have applied for permits to protest in certain areas and they have been denied. They have been arrested for protesting legally. They have been held at, with excessive bails. They've, you know, in all of these very, you know, and then, you know, probably the most obvious example, which is, you know, the kind of quarantining of protest in kind of smaller sanctioned free speech zones.
Yeah, and was the one for the United Nations protest, say, in Brooklyn or Connecticut or New Jersey?
No, the kind of the crux of the issue was that the United for Peace and Justice applied for a permit to protest at the United Nations,
mm-hmm.
In front of it. As Leslie Kagan, their national coordinator, pointed out, you know, there's not just a constitutionally protected right to assemble and to speak and to protest. There's also, you know, it's important to be able to do it in a place and in a venue that makes sense, someplace where you actually, you know, are targeting the audience that you wish to reach. In this case, an international body that was coming to assemble there in New York.
Mm-hmm. And so the upshot of it was that the protesters were kind of run around Manhattan yesterday?
To the best of my knowledge, there and now I wasn't there, so we're verging into territory where
mm-hmm.
But based on the reports that I've heard, there was at the very least an initial victory. I think it's important to say, you know, UFP, United for Peace and Justice, decided to move forward with a march past the United Nations, permit or no, and I think that was a very important step for them. Faced with that, the New York Police Department issued a permit anyway, and the way that I understand it, there were thousands of people in the streets yesterday, and there were indeed, some arrests. A friend of mine told me that, she was arrested with 15 other people, and there were probably, isolated instances of planned civil disobedience and possibly some other types of arrests as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sarah Olson's with us. Now, you're a freelance journalist. I've read you at Truth Out. Does your work appear elsewhere?
I do radio work that appears with the National Radio Project, with Free Speech Radio News, Pacifica Radio, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I know about the National Radio Project. That's based in Oakland, right?
It is based in Oakland.
Yeah, some really good work comes out of there. There's a weekly program, and it's called
Making Contact.
Making Contact, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. All right, well, that's nice to know what the connections are there. And how did you initially get into contact with Aaron Watata, the Army lieutenant who has publicly refused to accept an assignment to return to Iraq?
Sure. Well, this is an issue that I've been covering for years. I have, followed a variety of different cases. I had a chance to interview and talk with Stephen Funk, who was the first active duty military personnel who refused to go to Iraq a couple years ago. And I've been, asking members of the anti-war movement in the Bay Area and around the country to, let me know when they run across people who are interested in refusing to go to the Iraq War and who are interested in doing so in a public way. And I think that's, in Lieutenant Watada's case, is a very important distinction to make. Lieutenant Watada, he began to learn about the Iraq War when he was told he would be deploying there. And he made some, decisions based on what he read, what he saw in a wide variety of printed material. And he, based on his realization that there was some, grave questions that, he felt was unanswered, he decided to proceed with his decision to not go to the Iraq War. The distinction, though, is that he decided he wanted to not just refuse to go, but also help to stop the war itself. And mm-hmm. he decided that to do that, he would need to go public. He would need to speak publicly about his reasons for refusing to go to the Iraq War.
I was a conscientious objector during the Vietnam era, so I have deep respect for his convictions and the courage that he has shown in standing up to the military. And there are other options. He could have run to Canada. He could have faked his own disappearance, which it appears a soldier from Colorado has done. There are certainly other ways that are less public, less confrontational, that he could have used. He could have faked an illness. I mean, there are just a whole range of things. And he has stood up and said, I'm going to take this head on. Mm-hmm. And I deeply respect that, and I think that many Americans do. I'm sure some, consider him a traitor or subject to treason. But I believe that he's following his conscience, that he has refused to accept an immoral, illegal order, and that that's well within his rights to do so. It'll be a long process, of course, through the military court system. And you have been unintentionally and, probably without your permission, drawn into this case because the government is trying to make you a witness in their further prosecution of Lieutenant Watada.
Right. It may be helpful for people to kind of break that down.
Please.
So what that means, Lieutenant Watada, he first held a press conference on June 7th. He announced that he believed, as you said, the Iraq War was illegal and immoral. He, on June 22nd, actually refused the order to deploy with his unit to Iraq. He was charged on July 5th, and there were a number of charges that were filed against him. The first one was, maybe the obvious one. It was a missing movement by design,
mm-hmm.
and that's basically the charge that he was ordered to go to Iraq, and he didn't go. The rest of the charges are kind of interesting in some ways. They all center around things that Lieutenant Watada has said to the press that have appeared, in some kind of public forum. He initially on June 5th was charged with two charges of speaking contemptuously against officials, and he was charged with three counts of conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman. And again, all of these things are around the various comments that he made to myself and to other journalists.
Mm-hmm.
It's also worth noting that just last week, the Army filed an additional count of conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman for something he said at the Veterans for Peace Convention held in Seattle in mid-August.
And that story was posted at Truth Out on Monday, the 18th of September, and you can still find it there at truthout.org.
That's right.
Now, this additional charge, why did they decide to bring that? Haven't they sufficiently charged him for the issues that they see?
It's a good question. They won't return my calls. The Army won't return my calls. So, and they don't, you know, really have an answer for that. You know, there's lots of kind of speculation. You know, the kind of primary considerations that, you know, I think, you know, you might want to take into consideration when deciding why the Army is charged bringing this additional charge is, you know, again, the it's widely considered that the Army is attempting to make an example out of Lieutenant Ohtade.
Mm-hmm.
He's the first commissioned officer that has publicly opposed the Iraq War in this fashion.
Right.
And, you know, almost every enlisted person that I've talked to speaks, you know, very reverently about the officers in the Army, and you know, just talking about how very different you know, the two kind of classes, the leadership and then the enlisted personnel. One Iraq War veteran told me, you know, following the example of our officers, of our lieutenants, is what we're supposed to do. So I think that it's reasonable to suspect that the Army is very much trying to send a message to anybody else who may be considering refusing to go to Iraq,
mm-hmm.
Objecting to the war in this public way.
Sarah, we're going to take a break and return in just a moment. Sarah Olson is with us. She's a journalist, and she writes, you can read her work at truthout.org, and she's also a radio producer with the National Radio Project based in Oakland. If you have a question or comment, you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
Wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Coming soon, Sundays 3 to 5.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We bring you the rest of the cheer, but it could cost us $350,000 from the FCC.
Is in your mind, not the present or the past. It can happen anywhere, anytime. Bring back the 60s, man.
I'm Peter B., and we're talking with reporter Sarah Olson about the case of Lieutenant Aaron Ouattara, the Army lieutenant who has refused the order to return to Iraq, and he is going to be tried ultimately under the military court martial system. And, Sarah, you have a powerful quote here from Lieutenant Ouattara. He said, in January of 2006, when he was home on leave, he started investigating the issues related to the war in Iraq and educating himself. And he said the more he learned, the more his doubts overwhelmed him. Quote, the deciding moment for me was in January of 06. I had watched clips of military funerals. I saw the photos of these families, the children, the mothers and the fathers as they sat by the grave or as they came out of the funerals. One really hard picture for me was a little boy leaving his father's funeral. He couldn't face the camera, so he's covering his eyes. I felt like I couldn't watch that anymore. I couldn't be silent anymore and condone something that I felt was deeply wrong. Well, I think many Americans reflect on his comments and his courageous stand and say, well, yeah, he's right. And, of course, many of us have been protected from the kinds of emotional and wrenching photos that he described because the administration has blocked the photograph or videotaping of the coffins as they're flown into Dover, Delaware. That happened during Vietnam, and they said, aha, we got to button that up. And likewise, the media has really, you know, downplayed the loss of life, the loss of American life in this war. PBS still runs a little memorial to troops who've died on the NewsHour, but the commercial networks, by and large, have stopped honoring those who've been killed in Iraq.
It's true. And one of the things that has struck me as I have followed the case of Lieutenant Ouattara is, you know, the enormous support that he's gotten from a wide variety of Iraq War veterans. It's really remarkable. And when you talk to the men and women who have fought in Iraq, what they tell you is that just a vast majority of the people fighting in Iraq today would like to come home. They would like to have the war end. And they don't feel that there's anything objectionable or disgraceful about that. They feel that, you know, it's time for them to stop fighting this failed Bush administration policy, fighting out this failed Bush administration policy. Another thing that I think is really important, you know, Lieutenant Ouattara has talked about, you know, people would like to make the claim that he has deserted his, you know, the people that are reporting to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he points out, you know, look, the best way that I can lead, you know, that I can protect the people reporting to me is to help stop this war. And, you know, that's underscored by the injuries that people are experiencing in Iraq and by the incredible number of cases of post-traumatic stress disorder that people are experiencing once they return home.
Indeed.
When you know, kind of coupled, going hand in hand with the very poor medical coverage and treatment that people are getting in some instances here in the U.S.
In too many cases, that is true. Phil in Eureka, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Sarah Olson.
Oh, yes. Hi.
Hi, Phil.
I got a little late, but actually what I'm addressing is illegal wiretapping. You had a person on from Raw News.
Raw Story. That's Larissa.
RawStory.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were discussing, well, how can you bring the president up for breaking the law?
Mm-hmm.
And last night I heard on Ray Taliaferro, a fellow who said that there was a lawyer in Hollywood who's being brought before the courts for illegally wiretapping spouses in divorce cases. And he said that you could literally, if you had a brave prosecutor, you could convene a grand jury to literally bring Bush up for illegal wiretapping.
Well, I'd be happy to see that. As we have witnessed so far, the government has tried to quash these cases, and the courts have refused to permit that. But we have Anna Diggs Taylor in Detroit and also Judge Vaughn Walker in San Francisco. Both have issued blistering opinions confronting the Bush administration on these and related issues.
Right.
And it'll be very interesting to see how it plays out as these cases work their way up the system and ultimately to the Bush-packed Supreme Court.
Right. Well, for sure. But a district attorney could literally at least bring it before the press by convening a grand jury about the fact that this guy is illegally wiretapping the public.
Sarah, do you have a comment on that?
It's okay
if you don't.
it's an interesting question. I mean, I personally have been asking myself for years now why, we have been unsuccessful in getting some kind of meaningful impeachment movement rolling. I think that that's an important question. And, I'm just, when you're talking about the wiretapping, what comes to mind is in Judge Taylor's decision a couple weeks back, she quoted case law saying, and I'm paraphrasing, but saying essentially it would be ironic if in the interest of protecting national security national security, we gave up those things that made those very things that are worth protecting, essentially.
Yeah, I'm very troubled by it. Well, Phil, thanks for the call. And we will continue to focus on this. If you have any other ideas, feel free to call back or email.
Yeah, you have to repeat your number more often. I had to call the local station to get your number.
Well, my apologies. It's 888-5-PETER-B.
Okay.
I thought everybody knew. Sarah, as we touched on earlier, you now have been drawn into the Ouattara case. The government wants to make you a witness and have you testify against him. How are you going to proceed? Do you have counsel? What happens?
I do have counsel. They had requested my presence at the Article 32 hearing, essentially the pretrial hearing that happened back in August. I declined to testify at that point. I will not willingly testify against Lieutenant Ouattara. The Army has said that they will begin the court-martial kind of proceedings in the next 2 to 3 weeks, likely, although, there's no way of holding them to that.
Sure.
And once they, kind of convene the court-martial, they'll pick a date sometime probably in November to January range, and then they'll hold the actual court martial. Before that, they're having a couple of evidentiary hearings, and allegedly that's where they would like me to testify. Mm-hmm. They've told me via my lawyer at this point I can expect a subpoena to come sometime in October.
Oh.
I will be resisting that with all of the means available to me.
Well, keep us posted on that struggle, and we certainly wish you the best as you stand on principle against an unprincipled military. I appreciate your contribution, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Sarah Olson here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll continue after the top of the hour news. Medea Benjamin's going to join us live from Washington, D.C. It's the final 36 hours of Camp Democracy. Those who build walls.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Beike have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
At the UN, Venezuela's president calls George W. Bush the devil.
It smells of sulfur here.
A breakthrough in the E. coli investigation.
We now have a confirmed positive sample from a package of spinach.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, a close friend of Fidel Castro and a leading antagonist of the United States, stood before the UN General Assembly today and called President Bush Diablo. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick was there.
The Venezuelan leader told the General Assembly the devil lives in this country.
Yesterday, the devil came here. Right here. And it smells of sulfur still today.
There, through an interpreter, he was referring to President Bush, who spoke from the same podium yesterday. Chavez also criticized the U.S. for influencing the United Nations Security Council. He said this country's influence is like a sword hanging over the heads of others.
I'm Mark Knoller in New York. President Bush was wrapping up his visit and on the way to the airport as Chavez was delivering his attacks, but the White House was quickly dismissive of what he said. A spokesman said the remarks by Chavez do not merit a response, adding he says that kind of stuff all the time.
The Bush administration has angered Chavez by trying to block Venezuela's bid for a rotating seat on the Security Council. Now this.
Hi, is Michael there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And how is it?
Great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Aflac for small business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for small business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Health detectives have found an important clue in their effort to trace the source of the E. coli outbreak. In New Mexico, an open bag of Dole baby spinach was found in the refrigerator of a person who got sick. Dr. David Acheson at the Food and Drug Administration says it tested positive for the same strain of E. coli that sickened at least 146 people in 23 states.
All of the spinach that has been implicated in the epidemiological studies from the bags eaten by patients takes us back to the greater Salinas Valley, specifically Monterey, San Benito, and Santa Clara counties.
The discovery of a specific brand with a pull date of August 30th might help investigators pinpoint the source. For the second straight month, the Fed takes a pass on raising interest rates, keeping the benchmark federal funds rate at 5.25%, but warning that some inflation risks remain. Analyst Hugh Johnson.
It's very much a steady as she goes, but the Fed is also going to maintain its credibility as an inflation fighter, saying very clearly, if we start to see some upward pressure on prices, we won't hesitate to respond by raising interest rates to slow things down.
For now, the Fed says economic growth is moderating in part because of the cooling housing market. President Bush's recent speeches seem to have had an impact. In a CBS News New York Times poll, 49% said Iraq is part of the war on terror, up from 44% last month. Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic says the country is about evenly divided on how best to fight the war.
47% say that the United States would be safer from terrorism if it confronted terror groups and states in the Middle East. But nearly as many, 45%, say the United States would be safer if it simply stayed out of other countries' affairs in the Middle East.
42% said the terror threat to the United States would increase if we pulled out of Iraq now. Two breaking stories. In Louisiana, the owners of a nursing home where 35 patients died during Hurricane Katrina have been indicted on 35 counts of negligent homicide and 64 counts of cruelty to the infirm. And in Rhode Island, the owners of a nightclub where 100 people died in a fire 3 years ago have decided to plead no contest to charges of involuntary manslaughter. Florida, death row inmate Clarence Hill, convicted of killing a Pensacola police officer in 1982, once got a reprieve from the U.S. Supreme Court when he objected to the state's method of execution by lethal injection. Hill never got a hearing on the merits of his claim that it's cruel and unusual punishment, and about an hour ago he was put to death by lethal injection. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yes, it is.
Mark, I'm Paul.
Yeah?
I own your old... new Passat.
Oh, yeah, the
Yes! Yeah. Oh, boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just swing by and just, you know, sit in the Passat, you give me a call anytime, we'll make that happen.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring a 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
This is a dangerous place. Inside a calculator at tax time, a business owner has this thing smoking. How? He's got a Discover business card, so he downloads statements anytime he wants. Has his purchase records right at his fingertips. A lot faster and easier than a box full of receipts. Hey, he's up there, big guy. You'll sprain your pinky.
It's time to take control with the new Discover business card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
Peter B. Collins Show. We'll bring you an update from Camp Democracy in Washington.
Wars. Never fight them. Those who fight wars, I never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them. And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them.
Hey, it's time.
But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, it's time.
Yes, it's time.
It's time to go home.
Time to go home. Michael Fronte and Spearhead leading into this segment. As Medea Benjamin joins us live from Washington, D.C., she's participating in Camp Democracy, where we were just 2 weeks ago today. And Medea, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, it's my pleasure. Give us a scene setter. What's it like there at Camp Democracy today, just under the shadow of the Washington Monument?
Oh, it was a beautiful day. It was gorgeous out, and we had an amazing program. We had Howard Zinn give us a wonderful teach-in. We had an incredible panel of women veterans who decided not to keep fighting in this war. We just did an amazing march, unpermitted, down the streets of Washington, D.C., taking over the streets in 60s-style garb with flowers, going to the movie U.S. versus Lenin, and the movie theater gave us the whole night for Camp Democracy. So we've turned it into just this amazing space with people in the theater singing All We Are Saying Is Give Peace a Chance. And it's very a beautiful way to end Camp Democracy. It was actually full. The tent was overflowing today. Plenty of people out. And just a great feeling of coming together of kindred souls for peace.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because I was there in the early stages of Camp Democracy, and while there's a great core group of people that set it up and brought it all together, I was a little disappointed that we didn't see more grassroots reaction from across the country.
I think it took a long time to kick into gear, Peter. In fact, it took really until the end stages. There's probably a lot of reasons for that, including the timing of doing something right after Labor Day when people are just getting back into the swing of school and work. But I think the end was a really positive one, and it's now moving into the Declaration of Peace that starts tomorrow. And so it was a great kind of rolling of one effort into another, and as Camp Democracy gathered steam, we hope that energy will be with us as we move into the next phase of actually declaring peace tomorrow.
And Medea, Code Pink for Peace and the National Organization for Women have formed an alliance, and that was front and center today. Am I correct?
It was, and it was really beautiful. We had the president of the National Organization for Women. We had the two vice presidents. We had a lot of young people that work with now. We had lots of people came from all over the country from Code Pink, and we talked about some joint projects, and one of them that we're very excited about doing together is we're going to pick the top 15 candidates that have been the most pro-war. And we're going to do a joint campaign for bird dogging these candidates wherever we go. This is part of our Give Peace a Vote campaign, but we decided to not just take individual pledges that we're only going to vote for peace candidates, but we're going to be more proactive to call out the ones that continue to keep us in this disastrous war in Iraq, and many of whom are talking about military actions in Iran.
And just out of curiosity, is there a gal named Hillary on that list?
Well, Hillary has been on the list because we have been very upset that Hillary, as a female candidate, we think she should be even more anti-war than the men because the majority of women in this country are against this war. So we have been pressuring Hillary for over a year now. We think we're getting a little bit of a response and that she's changing her position somewhat, but it's still not good enough. There are certainly others who are worse than Hillary right now, and I think when we take the top 15, we'll keep Hillary on the list just because she's so important for positioning candidates for the 2008 election.
Well, I agree, and I think that just as Connecticut voters made an example of Joe Lieberman's support of the administration and a blind support for the war, I think it's important to hold Democrats as well as Republicans accountable for their mistaken votes and mistaken positions.
Well, that's right. You know, we're at a time in our country where we have the majority of people who are really sick and tired of this war, but not sick and tired enough to get out to places like Camp Democracy, and not sick and tired enough to send the message loudly and clearly enough to people running for office. So here you see that even among the Democrats, there was a report that came out in the Washington Post not long ago that showed that the majority of Democratic candidates are not even taking an anti-war position. So we obviously haven't done our job by making them do what a democracy is supposed to do, which is listen to the people.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because, I don't expect much out of most Republicans, but I really feel that Democrats should survey the landscape, and instead of simply, voting for their incumbent self-interest, take a look at what the nation needs and how important it is to provide sharp contrast to Republican positions so that voters know they have a real choice this November.
Well, that's right. And we have been put in the position time and time again of, do we vote for the lesser of two evils? We had Howard Zinn there today, and we said to him, look, there's an election coming up. Do we do everything we can just with the goal of getting the Democrats to take over the House and the Senate, or do we go with our principles and say we will only support those candidates and work really hard for them who say no to war? And he said, what good will it do us to have a change in the House if it's going to still be a house of war.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot of people clapping for that. And I think we're really tired of people, candidates or elected officials taking us for granted. We want them to have to earn our votes, and they'll earn our votes if they support some kind of bill. And, you know, we're being very generous. We're not saying you have to say out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying you have to say out by the end of the year. We're saying a speedy withdrawal of troops. Now, if they can't sign on to that, then we shouldn't vote for them.
Yeah. Medea, on my wall here in my messy office and studio, I pinned up a cover from The Nation magazine sometime in the last 8 or 9 months. Because it inspires me. It reads, "There can no longer be any doubt. The American war in Iraq, an unprovoked, unnecessary, unlawful invasion that has turned into a colonial-style occupation, is a moral and political catastrophe. It has also become the single greatest threat to America's national security. The Nation will not support any candidate for national office who does not make a speedy end to the American war in Iraq a major issue of his or her campaign." And I think that's a very important standard to apply.
Well, that is exactly how we were inspired to take on that campaign. We read The Nation magazine, we read that editorial, and we said, yes, this is exactly the way we think. And we've started this wonderful campaign called Give Peace a Vote. We just got Yoko Ono to sign on to it. We got Howard Zinn today putting his ballot into the ballot box that says he won't vote for war candidates. We have some wonderful celebrities from Willie Nelson and Neil Young to Susan Sarandon and Sean Penn and Alice Walker. And then, of course, many, many, many thousands of people. And those are people, Peter, that have not only said they'll take the pledge, but we've asked people to do more. We asked them to become a peacemaker themselves. And we said that means getting 100 other people to take this pledge. So if any of your listeners are interested in becoming a peacemaker, you can sign on at givepeaceavote.org.
Givepeaceavote.org. And we're heading to a break right now, Medea. Stand by. We'll come back and talk to you further in just a moment. And I happen to have Yoko Ono with Give Peace a Chance 04 to send us into the break. We'll continue in just a moment. Medea Benjamin, live from Washington, D.C. at Camp Democracy. If you'd like to offer a comment or talk to Medea, she's with us for another segment. You can call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Sudden violence destroyed our two towers.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Hello? Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. This week, meet James Ross, president and founder of National Real Estate Holdings. James will be talking about some great investment opportunities, including K-Club properties. Call him at 916-284-1732. That's this week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from Reality Radio, Saturdays 4 to 5 p.m. We're speaking on subjects not often talked about, like fear around money, relationships, or children, how we judge people, aging, happiness, and with our Central Coast's most colorful people, and of course, you. Call in or just listen. Reality Radio, Saturday afternoons 4 to 5 with me, Sheila Gale, on KRXA, sponsored by Myrick Photographic on Fremont Street in Monterey. Myrick Photographic in Monterey.
Good afternoon. It's time for our first check of traffic, and for a first time on a Wednesday afternoon, things are looking great. No accidents or stalls to report in the Santa Cruz Mountain area. Highway 17 in both directions has been free and clear all afternoon. Checking on Highway 183, it's looking good between Castroville and Salinas, 156. No problems to report so far between Castroville and San Juan Batista. Highway 25 is looking good in between Gilroy and Hollister, and even southbound 1 isn't slow just yet in between Monterey and Carmel. Do have a little bit of slow traffic, though, southbound 101 as you leave Silicon Valley from Highway 85 out to Coyote Creek Golf Drive. Traffic this afternoon is brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai, are you ready for exceptional safety, space, and savings? Then you're ready for the Hyundai Challenge. Come in and test drive today at your local Hyundai dealer. I'm Kate Scott. That's traffic on KRXA 540.
Ladies and gentlemen, we continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Here's Neil Young. That's Neil Young from the CD Living with War. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Lawrence W. Britt, who wrote a powerful piece about the 14 characteristics of fascism. And we'll get his take on how they apply to the current regime in Washington, D.C. We continue now with Medea Benjamin. She's co-founder of Global Exchange and Code Pink for Peace. She's live from Washington, D.C., marching with the members of Camp Democracy to a local cinema where they're going to view a film about John Lennon tonight. And, Medea, as you look at the picture right now, there are so many atrocious things going on. We have this debate in the Senate over torture, and the president, claiming he wants clarity, is really sending a message that he wants the freedom to torture detainees in the future, and he wants amnesty for his actions and those of his underlings in the years since 9/11. And it's undemocratic, it's immoral, and we see the senators who are fighting back nibbling around the edges, but the fundamental right of habeas corpus is not included in any of the legislation currently being discussed.
Well, I know, Peter, this is absolutely disgusting that this is even a discussion in this day and age in what's supposed to be a democracy. It's just appalling. And the fact that the Bush administration continues to use this fear factor like their ace card that they pull out every time their approval ratings go down really get the American people whipped up to think that somehow if we violate international law, somehow if we condone torture, if we do not abide by something as basic as the Geneva Conventions, that's going to make us safer here at home, is so topsy-turvy crazy. But it does amaze me that we're even having this discussion.
And to date, I have not even heard some of the leading progressive senators like Boxer or Feingold speak up on the issue of habeas corpus. And I think it is essential, and it's not even a part of the discussion.
Well, that's right. I think that some of our founding fathers would be rolling over in their graves if they saw what was happening to such basic issues as habeas corpus, some basic things that are supposed to be part of, so much a part of democracy that they wouldn't be even under discussion today.
Well, and then we have the bargaining that's going on with similar terms about the president's desire to continue his illegal monitoring program under the National Security Agency. Everybody knows it's in flat violation of the FISA law. And we have Dianne Feinstein, the woman that you ran against in the Senate race of 2000 here in California, trying to paper over the president's failings and make it all okay.
Yes, and they're trying to, Republicans now, work out some compromise so it won't make their party look bad that they're having a debate about this. But as you said, it's amazing that people like Dianne Feinstein won't stand up and really take leadership and say, come on, you know, what is it that we're fighting to preserve in this country if not these basic issues about due process?
Yeah. And we just got word in the last half hour, Medea Benjamin, that the House has passed H.R. 4844, which is misnamed the Federal Election Integrity Act of 2006. This is Henry Hyde's bill. And it includes a requirement for a photo ID for people in order for them to vote. And we know that this is an effort to disenfranchise many people who typically vote for Democrats or other progressives. And that we have two state courts in Missouri and Georgia that have flatly said that a photo ID requirement is unconstitutional.
Well, we've seen since 2000 such an amazing erosion of our electoral system and people becoming so cynical about whether or not their votes count anymore. And then on top of that, to have the House voting for something that further disenfranchises people. You would think they would be voting for same-day voter registration. You would think they'd be voting to make sure that felons are re-enfranchised into the system. You would think they would be passing legislation that would try to make us among the top countries in this world in terms of in the electoral system, and instead they're doing just the opposite.
Yeah, it is amazing. Now, Medea, you're always very kind to talk about the subjects I bring up. We got about 2 minutes here, and I just thought I'd ask you, what's on your agenda? What are you working on that we haven't talked about so far?
Working to really push forward a reconciliation plan in Iraq, saying if it worked in Lebanon, why can't the international community come together and force a negotiation process in the case of Iraq? Working to make sure that the ceasefire in Lebanon sticks so that it can be a good example. And then working, as I said earlier, to create a big, strong, several million strong voter bloc so that whether it's for November or 2008, we can get people in office to really reflect our desire for an end to war.
Yeah. Well, Medea, I want to thank you for all the work that you do and all those times you get arrested. you're one feisty so-and-so, and I'm really glad to have you on our side.
Well, thanks for having me on the air, and anybody interested, please check out codepinkalert.org.
All right. Thank you, Medea.
Thanks, Peter.
It's amazing how she keeps all those websites straight. You can also go to campdemocracy.org. Camp Democracy will be winding down tomorrow. And I want to thank David Swanson and Tim Carpenter and Bob Furtick and scores of people who devoted a lot of time, effort, and their hard-earned money to bring Camp Democracy from Crawford, Texas, where it was Camp Casey, up to the mall in Washington, D.C. Some statements were made. Some progress was, I think, achieved. But I don't want to sugarcoat it. We have a lot more work to do to wake up Americans who are currently either oblivious to what's going on or just distracted and diverted by the requirements of their daily lives. And we need to drive home how critical the issues are, and how much the future of our nation truly is at stake. Not hyperbole, It's really true this year. And to illustrate that, our next guest will join us after the break, Dr. Lawrence Britt. He has defined the 14 characteristics of fascism. Listen carefully and see how many of them apply to the Bush administration in these United States. We'll continue after the break. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
The UN can be a tough crowd. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. It was a tough crowd for President Bush at the UN yesterday. He talked about how the U.S. wants only peace for the Middle East and that we had no objection to a peaceful nuclear program in Iran, but only tepid applause from the assembled delegates. At least, though, there was a full house to hear what he said, which was not the case when the president of Iran got up to speak. The chamber was half empty as President Ahmadinejad claimed his country's nuclear dabblings are transparent and perfectly peaceful. He said Iran didn't deserve the treatment it was getting at the UN and that the United States was using the Security Council as a tool of, quote, threat and coercion. Well, he should know something about threat and coercion. In fact, this year, the UN General Assembly passed a resolution describing Iran as one of the world's greatest violators of human rights, including persecution of religious dissenters, journalists, students, clerics, academics, and even bloggers, disqualification of all women from the 2005 presidential elections, arbitrary trials, and the use of torture. And we're talking old school here, as in flogging and amputations. At least Mr. A didn't claim to be surrounded by a divine light, as he did after last year's UN speech. Didn't even try to lead a reprise of death to the Pope. Instead, he merely asked God for the return of the perfect human being promised to all, and that God make us among the Savior's followers, unquote. And if God refuses, well, I guess Iran will just have to arrest the Almighty, lock him up, and cut off a finger.
Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I'm proud that millions of my 8-pound Orrick XL vacuums are used around the world. What makes me really proud is that the Orrick XL Hotel Upright is produced right here in the good old USA. To try my American vacuum risk-free for 30 days, call me at 1-800-989-4200. And if someone tries to tell you that American products are second best, they obviously haven't tried my 8-pound Orrick XL. 1-800-989-4200.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Budget. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Well, fact is, we don't actually have a budget. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins. This program is ably produced by Matt Renner.
Guess who just got back today?
place to sit. But men are still doing them cats of rage. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town, the boys are back in town.
Joining us this half hour is Lawrence W. Britt. He matriculated the same place I did at Northwestern in Chicago. And he spent 33 years in international business. Then he took early retirement, lucky guy. And he has been writing and actively commenting on political issues for more than 16 years. Lawrence Britt, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you very much.
I was struck.
Pleasure to be here, Peter.
Well, it's mine too, and I'm looking forward to hearing your comments because I first learned about the article that you wrote that was published in Free Inquiry magazine in the spring of 2003. In a book that was published earlier this year by Dr. Robin Myers, who is a pastor in Oklahoma City and a progressive commentator who's been on our program many times, and he published a book called Why the Christian Right is Wrong, A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. And in it, he cited the 14 defining characteristics of fascism that you had laid out in the article we referenced in Free Inquiry magazine. Tell me, first of all, about your interest in fascism and how it dawned on you to apply it to the current regime here in the United States.
Okay. Well, first of all, I've always had an interest in history and political issues, ever since I was a kid. I mean, really, even though I had a career in business for many years, I still had a very high interest in those two particular areas, and in history, especially the history of World War II and the events that led up to it. And as many of us have been taking a look at things that have been happening in the last few years, I personally saw a lot of parallels. So just prior to the Iraqi invasion, I began to think about, you know, all the different parallels that there were, and I decided to did a little bit of research, quite a bit of research actually, mm-hmm. to identify what the characteristics were of fascist states, and it was pretty easy to come up with them because they were all very common, and I just wrote the article to identify what the characteristics were.
Mm-hmm.
And the reader is left to decide whether they fit what is happening today.
All right. Well, in a moment,
I think that there are some parallels here.
Indeed.
Should be concerned about.
And in a moment, I want to go through them point by point and ask you for some recent examples or just some thoughts that are provoked by these various characteristics. But first, I wanted to ask you about the language of the president in his charm offensive since Labor Day. He has used the term Islamofascism on a number of occasions in public speeches, not accidentally, obviously a very conscious choice of terminology on his part. What does Islamofascism mean to you, Larry Britt?
Well, I think that's a rhetorical term that really has no meaning whatsoever. Fascism has come to fruition in nation states, not in criminal or terroristic type of organizations.
Non-state actors.
Particularly as it relates to Islam. Every fascist regime has come into power in Christian states. I personally see no parallel at all, and people who are using that, to me, are just trying to confuse the public.
Mm-hmm.
And
and do you think it's a kind of Republican projection? One of the things that we've seen is that, and Tom DeLay was a past master at this, if anybody was accusing him of something, he would immediately point a finger at a Democrat and see, look what they're doing over there.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that they have probably heard murmurings of fascism tactics aimed at them, so therefore it would be easy to just throw it out. you know, on the other side and say, no, we're against fascism, you see?
Right.
Islamofascism.
Yeah, it's a little inoculation.
Right.
Okay, first of all, just a general, simple definition. What is fascism?
What is fascism? Well, the best way to describe it actually is by the countries, you know, that have practiced it. But mm-hmm. there is a definition in the dictionary, and let me quote you the definition of that is.
Is this Funk and Wagnalls? Who's your source?
This is American Heritage.
Okay.
All right. Let me. Of course, it's never right in front of you. Want it, but. Well, I can't put my hands on it right now, but basically it's a dictatorial regime of the extreme right that combines state and corporate power within a framework of belligerent nationalism. It's, I think I can recall almost exactly, but that's it.
Well, those
American Heritage
mm-hmm.
Dictionary.
Well, that's consistent with my understanding of the term. So I think that's a good baseline. Now let's start with the 14 points, and we'll have to take a break somewhere along the way here. Number one, powerful and continuing nationalism. Fascist regimes tend to make constant use of patriotic mottos, slogans, symbols, songs, and other paraphernalia. Flags are seen everywhere, as are flag symbols on clothing and in public displays. Yeah, what about the animated American flag on the Fox News channel? It never stops waving.
Yep. Well, I think, you know, what you just read through is basically it, you know, and we can see that every day. The interesting thing is the comparison between nationalism, which in its extreme state is very bad, you know, for the international community, versus patriotism, which basically says love of and devotion to country.
Mm-hmm.
There certainly is nothing wrong with that, but
yeah.
Nationalism is an aggressive projection of your country.
Right. And I don't know about you, but I choke every time I hear the word homeland, because I think that it's tied in with George Lakoff's analysis of the strict father and the idea that Bush is protecting our homeland, our fatherland, and it just
yeah.
sickens me. Do you have the same reaction?
Yes, I do. Fatherland was in fact a novel, you know, of a few years ago that talked about the victory of Nazism,
mm-hmm.
interestingly enough.
Item number two, disdain for the recognition of human rights. Because of fear of enemies and the need for security, the people in fascist regimes are persuaded that human rights can be ignored in certain cases because of need. The people tend to look the other way or even approve of torture, summary executions, assassination, long incarcerations of prisoners without charge. I mean, this is a picture-perfect definition of the debate, this tawdry debate that's going on in Washington right now about how much torture we ought to embrace.
Yep. The interesting thing is that I wrote that in 2003, and everything is much worse than it was then.
Yeah, you didn't know about Abu Ghraib then, did you?
No, we didn't know about that. We didn't know about torture, many of these things. Guantanamo,
yeah.
all still ahead of us.
Item number three, identification of enemies / scapegoats as a unifying cause. The people are rallied into a unifying patriotic frenzy over the need to eliminate a perceived common threat or foe, racial, ethnic, or religious minorities, liberals, communists, socialists, terrorists.
Immigrants.
Yeah. And the frenzy is there, too, as we see the Pope getting into the mix and Muslims around the world being offended by his remarks, and it really, you know, it's hard to figure out sometimes where these things begin and end.
Yep.
But
yep.
you see the way the air has been filled with vitriol, and to be fair, it's not all coming from the West, it's not all coming from the Christian side, but we're operating in a way that is often oblivious or, at minimum, confrontational to the thoughts, ideas, and values of these other people.
Absolutely. You know, as a matter of fact, this meeting that they had in Havana, you know, within the last week or so. Mm-hmm. 118 countries came. That's two-thirds of all the countries in the world. And, you know, I guess everyone that was there was in some way, you know, or another, opposed to the United States, something that we should be concerned about. How many countries in the world view us as an enemy?
We're talking with Lawrence Britt here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We are counting through his 14 defining characteristics of fascism. We're now at item 4, supremacy of the military. Even when there are widespread domestic problems, the military is given a disproportionate amount of government funding. Whew. And the domestic agenda is neglected. New Orleans, soldiers and military service are glamorized. Well, in so many cases, yes.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things to think about in terms of the militarism is the fact that we have now gone into the issue of preemption, you know, as our natural right.
Mm-hmm.
And this was very much part of the Nazi mentality. I hate to say it, but
well, and also, Larry, the misguided notion that we can use our military supremacy in an asymmetrical war and prevail.
Yep. Here are some interesting quotes in terms of Hitler and World War II. This is what he said before the invasion of Poland. There's no willingness on the part of the Polish government to conduct negotiations, which of course was false. They were perfectly willing to. Bush said prior to moving into Iraq, the Iraqi government has refused to allow inspectors free access to facilities, which again was false. Hans Blix had certainly had complete access. Invasion of Norway. Hitler said, this invasion is necessary to prevent enemy use of Norwegian ports and staging areas to attack Germany. Bush for Iraq. We are convinced that there is a grave risk that Iraq will supply WMDs to terrorists who will then use them to attack America. Before the invasion of Yugoslavia, Hitler said, we cannot trust the Yugoslavians to not interfere with our future plans. They must be crushed. Bush said, for Iraq, Saddam Hussein cannot be trusted to keep his word. We need to act. In advance of the German attack on Russia, Hitler said, we must cut the noose before it can be drawn tight.
Yeah.
Condoleezza Rice said just before, of course you've all heard this many times, we don't want the smoking gun to become the mushroom cloud.
Right.
So basically, it's the same kind of rationale, and I'm not trying to say that what we have been into in Iraq equals what Hitler was into in Europe.
But the
false rhetoric is almost identical.
And the threads of fascism are very clear. Let's touch on one more point, then we'll go to a break. Rampant sexism. The governments of fascist nations tend to be almost exclusively male-dominated. Under fascist regimes, traditional gender roles are made more rigid. Divorce, abortion, homosexuality, same-sex marriage are suppressed. And the state is represented as the ultimate guardian of the family institution. Yes, the culture of life. Lawrence Britt, we're going to take a break and return in just a moment. If you'd like to talk with our guest, he's here till the top of the hour, and you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning.
to perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal. Choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Good afternoon. It's time to check traffic once again, and just like last time around, things are still looking great. No stalls, no accidents, not even any debris in the road anywhere in the greater Monterey County area. We do have a little bit of slow traffic, though, southbound 101 as you leave Silicon Valley. It's already stop and go between Highway 85 out to Coyote Creek Golf Drive. Southbound Highway 17 from 85 out to the Lexington Reservoir is a bit slow as well. But other than that, eastbound 25 out of Gilroy and into Hollister is at the limit. East and westbound Highway 68, it's usually slow between Monterey and Salinas, especially in that eastbound direction, but today, no reports of any problems. That's always good news. Traffic is brought to you by Advil Muscle Ache. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the every pain reliever. I'm Kate Scott. That's traffic on KRXA 540.
And we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're giving you grist for the free speech zone coming up 15 minutes from now when we open up the phone lines to talk to you about any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Lawrence J. Britt is our guest. He authored the article in 2003 called 14 Defining Characteristics of Fascism. And I think it is more appropriate and applicable today even than it was apparent in 2003. And Larry Britt, moving on to a few more of these characteristics. Number six, controlled mass media. Sometimes media is directly controlled by the government, but in other cases the media is indirectly controlled by government regulation or sympathetic media spokespeople and executives. Censorship, especially in wartime, is very common. And the corporate control of our media and its consolidation over the last 15 years, I think, has reached a crisis point, and we're no longer being served by the media. The media is busy chasing us and pandering to us, you know, with racially tinged survivor episodes and JonBenet Ramsey excessive coverage instead of the real issues about war and the profligate spending of this administration and the power grabs that they have entertained.
Yes, and unfortunately, you have to really look at who is in control of the media and what their political orientation is. It's clearly to the right. You know, Fox clearly is over there. ABC, after we saw the path to 9/11, I think we can make an assessment of what the powers over there think.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting part of all this is that we are told that we have a free press, and therefore anything can be shown, and everyone's points of view are exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this is really not true. You need a tremendous amount of money to really be a player today in the media, and left of center is basically shut out of the media world. So all we hear is from somewhere in the center to the far right.
And it's inexplicable that, you know, despite the rumors of bankruptcy, that Rupert Murdoch has not come forward to bail out Air America. I'm kidding.
Yes.
All right.
I was a little slow on that one. Sorry.
Number seven, obsession with national security. This is a simple statement. Fear is used as a motivational tool by the government over the masses. I mean, the current episode, the fear up, the fear mongering that this administration is using in a desperate attempt to hold on to Republican control in the House and Senate in November is overwhelming.
Yep. Yep. Yes, no doubt about that.
All right, let me move forward because I want to get to all 14 of these. Eight, religion and government are intertwined. Governments in fascist nations tend to use the most common religion in the nation as a tool to manipulate public opinion. Religious rhetoric and terminology is common from government leaders, even when the major tenets of the religion are diametrically opposed to the government's policies or actions. I mean, this is so on target, Larry, because we have Christo-fascism, in my view, in this country, and we're seeing the loss of separation of church and state, the faith-based initiatives, the way that religion is intertwined in the rhetoric of the Bush administration, and his frank comments to evangelicals that he thinks he's presiding over the Third Awakening.
Yeah, it is amazing. And, you know, the other interesting thing is that the perpetrators of 9/11 were religious fanatics, and that seems to be lost. And yet our answer to that appears to be, let's appeal to our own side of that particular equation.
You bet.
I don't know whether you've heard about this new film out.
Jesus Camp?
Camp.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we talked about it the other day. It's the Hitler Youth for
that,
Jesus.
And it's absolutely scary. It's, you know, it's like this, well, Islamicists, if that's the way they're going to be, then we can be the same way.
Well, and they'll get brown...
What kind of response is that?
They'll get brown shirts for the kids at Jesus Camp, but they'll be hand-me-downs from UPS, maybe. Number nine, corporate power is protected. The industrial and business aristocracy of a fascist nation often are the ones who put the government leaders into power, creating a mutually beneficial business-government relationship and power elite. Our current landscape is replete with those examples, Larry.
Yep, it sure is. I mean, you know, you just go take a look at all of the laws that have been passed in the last few years that favor corporations, you know, whether it's the drug benefits, the changing, you know, in the hours for overtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Labor Department issued memos to employers on how they can avoid paying overtime. That's just wonderful on behalf of workers. Number 10 is labor power is suppressed. We won't go into detail on that. Number 11, disdain for intellectuals and the arts. Bush takes this to a new level where he's a regular guy, and it's those elitist Democrats from France like John Kerry who can't be trusted.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
amazing. 12, obsession with crime and punishment. Under fascist regimes, the police are given almost limitless power to enforce laws. Read Patriot Act. Number 13, rampant cronyism and corruption.
Well, we don't have that.
Bob Ney, the whole Abramoff crew. And then finally, number 14, fraudulent elections. And Larry, we talk about that on this program almost every day. Today, the Congress passed a bill to require photo IDs for voters in the future. And this is simply a way to deny the vote to people who are most likely to vote in a non-Republican manner. So we've got about a minute here. If you'd like to sum up these 14 characteristics and how you think they apply, and so are we pre-fascist or have we actually arrived at a condition of fascism in America in 2006?
Well, I don't think we're there yet, but the trend is not good. And my concern, you know, would be that if we can come this far based on what happened on 9/11, what would happen if there was a real catastrophe, you know, like a nuclear weapon mm-hmm. in a port, something like that?
Yeah.
You can imagine how the people could be stirred up, and it's scary, you know, to even think about it.
Yeah.
Hope that it doesn't happen. But we have elections still fraudulent as they may be, perhaps, and that will be the answer to all these problems in the long run.
Well, Lawrence J. Britt, I want to thank you for the article you wrote. Thanks for coming on the program today to discuss and expand on it. And
we're going to
talk with our listeners in the next hour, and I think it's going to be very interesting.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
That's Lawrence J. Britt, the 14 defining characteristics of fascism. Now it's your turn. Pre-fascist? Or is the Bush regime truly fitting the definition of fascism? Call me now, 888-5-PETER-B. We'll take your calls all through the next hour. 888-5-PETER-B.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at More Imported Cars, located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by More Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
A 91 Mercedes 500 SL, pearl black with light gray leather, 73,000 original miles. This two-owner car comes with both tops, chrome wheels, and CD changer. Specially priced this week, only $18,988.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's MOHR. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. As they suspected, federal health investigators say the trail leads back to California's salad bowl, the spinach fields of the Salinas Valley. They have a new clue now, an open bag of Dole baby spinach that was found in the refrigerator of a person who got sick in New Mexico. Dr. David Acheson of the FDA says it tested positive for the same strain of E. coli bacteria that sickened others around the country.
Currently, we have 146 individuals who have been confirmed to be part of the outbreak. The number of states has expanded from 21 to 23.
Finding that bag, Acheson hopes, will lead them to the source of the contamination. In Louisiana, criminal indictments now in the case of a couple who failed to evacuate their nursing home as Hurricane Katrina approached. WWL Radio's Mike Conti has the story.
The owners of St. Rita's Nursing Home were charged with negligent homicide shortly after Katrina, but it took more than a year before a grand jury could convene in the heavily damaged St. Bernard Parish. Today, the grand jury indicted the owners of the home on 35 counts of negligent homicide and 64 counts of cruelty to the infirm. 35 people died at the home when it flooded during Katrina.
In a lawsuit, Salvador and Mabel Mangano blamed the government for failing to protect people from the storm. As jury selection got underway in Providence, Rhode Island, the owners of the Station nightclub, where fire killed 100 people in 2003, have decided to plead no contest to involuntary manslaughter charges. Dave Kane, whose son Nick died in the fire, is frustrated.
We don't get a chance to get our day in court. We don't get a chance to find out who else did what on this fire. We don't get a chance to find out what mistakes were made, what intentional things were done that resulted in the death and the damage of these people.
In a plea bargain, Michael Dedarian will serve 4 years in prison. His brother Jeffrey will get a suspended sentence. A memorable moment at the UN today, and Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez offered his review of President Bush's address yesterday. He's heard here through a translator.
The world tyrant's statement, cynical, hypocritical, full of this imperial hypocrisy from the need they have to control everything.
Chavez went on to call Mr. Bush the devil and said the podium still smelled of sulfur.
I'm Mark Miller in New York. It's an understatement to say there's no love lost between the White House and the Venezuelan leader. A spokesman quickly dismissed the verbal attacks by Chavez, saying they don't merit a response. President Bush was heading back to D.C. as Chavez spoke, but has said in the past that his nature is to be polite to him.
NASA still isn't sure about what those bits of debris near Space Shuttle Atlantis are, but a thorough inspection today revealed no damage to the spacecraft. The six astronauts have been cleared for landing at the Kennedy Space Center tomorrow morning. The Fed holds interest rates steady, and the Dow went up 72 points today. This is CBS News.
There are infinite dynamics in business. There's the every customer is a repeat customer dynamic, or the pleased to meet you, here's how we can help you dynamic. or the old, the customer is always right, even when you know they're wrong, dynamic. And to help you master such dynamics, there's Microsoft Dynamics, software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Asthma, diabetes, heart disease. I see real health problems in our communities and too many people who don't see a doctor until it's too late.
Thais directs GSK's Healthy Communities programs.
We're taking a real active role working with community groups to offer free health screenings and connecting local doctors with people that really need help. It's a start toward helping folks live healthier lives, and that does my heart good.
GSK, finding a way forward, one community at a time.
CBS News correspondent John Hartsey reports the days of tax credits for fuel-efficient hybrid vehicles are numbered.
The federal tax breaks promised when you buy hybrid vehicles phase out as each manufacturer reaches a certain sales number. Toyota's Prius, the most popular hybrid, already has hit the phase-out number, 60,000 sales. So the IRS says if you haven't bought your Toyota or Lexus hybrid by the end of this month, your credit will be cut in half. A potential $3,150 tax savings down to under $1,600. Typical of tax law, hybrid tax credits are complicated and all eventually phase out.
Congress has not acted on President Bush's request to extend the credit to all hybrids sold this year. California Attorney General Bill Lockyer says it's part of a strategy to address global warming. He's suing the six largest U.S. and Japanese automakers, claiming greenhouse gases from their vehicles have caused billions of dollars in environmental damage. An industry trade group calls it a nuisance suit. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, is Michael there?
Okay,
my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And, how is it?
Great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Aflac for Small Business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my, my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to AflacSB.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Radio antidote for a fascist nation. Or are we just pre-fascist?
As I was walking, opening up highway, I saw above me, and in the skyway, I saw below me, a golden valley.
Actually, this land was made for George W. Bush and his capitalist cronies, the neocons. They've got a vision, you know, to redraw the Middle East. I'm Peter B., your humble host, and I apologize if I'm seething a little bit or I come across as overly cynical. But I have to say that the last half hour on our program with Lawrence Britt really grinds me. Because as you hear the 14 characteristics of fascism, it fits this administration better than that glove fit O.J. Simpson. Let me just give you one example here, all right? Number 13 on the list, and as time went on, we had to be briefer on each one of these items. But 13 is rampant cronyism and corruption, one of the 14 factors of fascism. And the description reads, fascist regimes almost always are governed by groups of friends and associates who appoint each other to government positions and use governmental power and authority to protect their friends from accountability. It is not uncommon in fascist regimes for national resources and even treasures to be appropriated or outright stolen by government leaders. And just during the news break, I was looking online. This story came in 12 minutes ago. Republican activists Grover Norquist and Ralph Reed landed more than 100 meetings inside the Bush White House, according to documents released today. The White House released these Secret Service documents to settle a lawsuit by Democratic Party activists and an ethics watchdog group seeking the visitors' logs for the two GOP strategists and others who came out as central figures in the Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal. And earlier this month, the White House suggested to the judge in that lawsuit that these records shouldn't be disclosed because the information was privileged and might reveal how Bush and his staff get private advice. So Grover Norquist had access to the White House just like Jeff Gannon, that phony reporter who served up softball questions. And I submit to you that the Bush administration meets the characteristics of fascism in a way that is so complete that it's very, very scary. So this hour, I want to hear from you. I've got four lines available right now, toll free, and I'd like to hear your comments. Do you fear that we have crept over the line into a fascist country? Now, we could quibble about whether we're under a dictatorship or not. But when you see the power grab and the expansive demands on power that this administration has made, well, we have a technical democracy. But then you factor in the stolen elections of 2000 and 2004, and we're right back in the F zone. And I'd particularly like to hear from you if you don't think that this is true, if you don't think that Bush and his cronies meet the terms of fascism. 888-5-PETER-B is my number. And I'm going to say it slowly because apparently some people haven't really latched on to the new number. 888-573-8372. In letters, it spells out 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Your calls are welcome this entire hour. We start off with Dave from Eureka. This is Dave Berman. Hi, yes. Dave. How are you doing today?
Great, Peter, and thank you so much for just being so direct and straightforward about fascism. I mean, for the past couple of years, we've seen this progression, all of the traits that are the hallmarks of previous fascist regimes. It's like fascism is a formula, and you can see it or you can just be in denial about it. And it's maybe the best sign of all to tell that this is now a fascist nation is the fact that the Bush regime is pointing at others and saying they're fascist.
Right.
So, you know, if they were saying up, well, then you'd know the answer was down.
Yeah, and look over there. It's Richard Armitage. He's the one responsible for the leak. Karl Rove's innocent.
Yeah.
That's how they do it. Now, one of the things here that will connect is the controlled mass media. It's item six.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes media is directly controlled by the government, but in other cases, the media is indirectly controlled. And I don't, you know, we don't have state-run television like they do in Britain and Italy and other places around the world. But we have a corporate media that is so intent on groveling at the feet of and pleasing this administration so that they can buy more television stations and have less regulation, that sort of thing, that they have rather gleefully carried the water of this administration and really not challenged it in the ways that we've seen historically in this country.
Yeah, for sure. You know, one of the particular problems with the media that I've been latched onto, to use your word, actually I think does reflect on the way state-run media would be expected to perform. Think about this. We have elections, and nobody in the citizenry can really know or see how the votes are counted because of the secret software. The media, likewise, can't know for sure that the results they are reporting are indeed accurate. So where are they getting the information? There's one government body that provides election results, the elections department in every county. So you've got the government telling the media, this is the outcome of the election. The government, or the media rather, has no way to verify it. They don't question it. They just simply report it. How is that not state-run media?
Well, and again, to your point, we saw that the critical indicator of John Kerry's victory in 2004 was the exit polling data. And yet the networks blithely blew past that and ignored the real issues of the chicanery in Ohio because, you know, they weren't interested. And then a week later, in the Ukraine, there's a tainted election, and the Orange Revolution takes place. People go to the streets, and the U.S. weighs in and says, this election is tainted, and we want it run over again. It's just amazing, you know, that kind of a disconnect. Now, Dave, I understand that there is a session tomorrow, a public meeting, related to media reform issues. Do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily set it up that way, but that's close. What we've done is got a whole bunch of the media decision makers in Humboldt County to gather together for a panel discussion. It's going to take place in one of the in a studio at one of the local radio stations here, KHUM, KHUM, which is 104.3 and 104.7 if you're in Humboldt County, or for listeners anywhere else, you can tune in online, khum.com. So it's not a public event in that we're not going to have, you know, foot traffic in a studio audience, but we will be taking phone calls and emails, and this really was developed, this show was developed as a result of actions that I was involved with back on the day of the California primary back in June, and the example I gave a moment ago was pretty much where we were coming from. We did a press conference and said we're not going to accept the results of this election because the secret software makes it impossible to know for sure that the outcome is accurate, and we challenge the media not to report what can't be proven and what you haven't independently verified. And so from taking that position and trying to see if we could get the media to come over onto our side, which was asking the county to allow for a hand count of the ballots, we thought that, well, you know, it would be in the interest of the media to document the process of hand counting the ballots, because then they've got the credibility to say we can stand behind what we're reporting. And this led to some meetings I had with editorial staff at two of the local newspapers and a couple of op-eds that I was able to get published. And from there, we were able to get enough interest and cooperation. And I'm really grateful for these people for being open enough and honest enough to sit down together in a studio and talk about issues of media accountability. That's how I see this tomorrow.
Great. And what time is that, Dave?
That's at 6 p.m.
6 p.m. I'm glad it doesn't conflict with the Peter B. Collins show.
We did that on purpose.
Okay.
So.
And so KHUM Radio, KHUM.com, if people outside of the area want to listen online. And any other channels or outlets that we should mention?
No, that's it, unless people want to visit my blog, which of course is always welcome. We do not consent.blogspot.com. I have a book by that name too, We Do Not Consent. And, you know, always grateful to have the bandwidth here, Peter. Thanks.
My pleasure. Thanks for checking in, Dave. That's Dave in Eureka. Now, we're going to go to more calls in the next segment, and I want to hear your thoughts. Has America crossed the line into fascism? Or are we teetering on that brink? My lines are open for your comments. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. 888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from ThinkerToys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from ThinkerToys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Good evening. Checking traffic yet again. Things still looking pretty good for your Wednesday evening commute. We have a couple of stalls in the Gilroy area. First one's northbound 101 at 152. That stall is blocking the center lane of traffic. Then eastbound on 152, just west of Dunhill Road, we've got a stalled truck partially blocking the eastbound lanes. CHP's on scene with that, hoping to get it off of the roadway very soon. And then in Salinas, northbound 101 at Main Street, be careful. A truck lost some boxes of produce and the wooden pallets carrying them. They're blocking the second lane from the left. Also, a little bit of slow traffic in the southbound direction, 101, leaving Silicon Valley from Highway 85 out to Coyote Creek Golf Drive. Traffic tonight is brought to you by Sleep Train. Purchase any Sleep Number bed by select Comfort, Beautyrest, Posturepedic, or Stearns & Foster mattress set from Sleep Train today, and get a luxurious 600 thread count sheet set valued at $199 absolutely free. I'm Kate Scott with traffic on KRXA 5.
Useless to resist us.
We're in the free speed zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got three lines available. You can grab one right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. So call me on that fancy BlackBerry or other cell phone you got. You don't need to take any pictures. Just talk into it, you know. Up next, we've got Ben in Salinas. Hello, Ben. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, sir. I'm going to try to concisely make 2 points here. First of all, this of that list, the one that got me was the number 12, where the fixation was punishment and law enforcement and punishment and torturing and killing and killing and torturing and killing and punishment. Okay, now, that concentration camp that they built down there in Texas, I understand that one of them is operational. It is now that it's been built by Halliburton, that's another $500 million stolen by those bunch of Nazis. Remember I said who's going to be in them and who's going to man them?
Right.
Well, guess who they're being run by? A private corporation. It's called a faith-based corporation. Now, what the hell is that?
Now, wait a minute. Give me some details on this, because I thought it's down in Texas. Yeah.
It's operational. It's being used to house people they're calling illegal alien / I don't know if they're using the word terrorist or not, but you know that's coming.
Do you know what town it's located in?
No, but I'm going to find out. From what I'm hearing, it's several. I know that there's one in Washington because they said the border, the Mexicans. There's not that many Mexicans up there in Yakima, Washington. And that's the one up there they call Auschwitz. That's a Pride and Joy. But they're being run by these faith-based, I mean, can you say Wackenhut and CCA, primary stockholders, the Bush crime family?
Well, I know about CCA and Wackenhut. I don't think of them as faith-based.
Well, me neither, sir. But what made my ears stand up is they said that these camps are being run by faith-based private corporations. Okay, the second point I wanted to make without
Ben, just one thing. Yes, I welcome any additional information you can bring on that, because my sources haven't provided anything new.
Okay, well, I'm on the hunt for that, and I'm doing a big investigation also on the Federal Reserve, and that scam there, but I'll come up with more cogent details. This
Great.
Other thing I wanted to bring up. We recently have this spinach thing.
Sure.
21 states affected with bad spinach. Okay. What in the hell did we just appropriate $60 billion taxpayer dollars to Homeland Security? Because let's say that thing was some kind of a terrorist plot to contaminate the food. What the hell? Those people can't stop spinach from getting to 21 states. Remember, one of the reasons that they stopped the marijuana was an interstate Commerce Act. That's the Department of Agriculture and all these federal narcs, but now they're just, marijuana's bad, but they can't stop bad spinach from going to 21 states? I mean, what the hell did we give those bastards $60 billion for?
Well, in general, my impression is that the U.S. Department of Agriculture is there to protect the producers and not the consumers. Now, I'm still waiting for a definitive word on where this E. coli outbreak originated and exactly how it got in and tainted the spinach.
And they're trying to say a possible new and virulent strain. Okay, can you say terrorism? And if you want to get to a country, you mess with the water and the air and the food. And then all these wannabe FBI Sherlock Holmes Nazis with their brown shirts and their boots, what if they can't spot bad spinach tainting 21 states? I mean, holy cow, Bin Laden couldn't come up with such a plan. And what the hell are they doing, this Homeland Gestapo? And that's what they are. And I was the first to call them fascists and Nazis way back. I got thrown off of a couple of radio stations for daring to speak the truth. And damn it, if we don't deal with the truth, we're never going to get to the honesty of where we belong. We have to flood somebody with messages and use paper voting ballots, because without the vote, we all have destined for those concentration camps.
Gotcha, Ben. I need to move on. Thank you for your call today.
Always
appreciate it. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number, and I'd like to hear from you today. Next, Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Hi, Joe. You're on the air.
You know, interesting you bring up the topic of fascism. Aaron Russo's movie, America from Freedom of Fascism, is being re-released very, very shortly. And I believe he's actually going to be showing the film at the Crook County Jail in Chicago this weekend.
Uh-huh.
That's a 3,000, a captive audience, if you will. But, here's an award-winning movie producer and director like Aaron Russo, has won many awards. Bette Midler's, ex-manager. He can't even get on TV. He was supposed to get an interview on CNBC. When they saw the movie, they canceled the interview. Aaron Russo can't get an interview anywhere on TV, not even on C-SPAN, to talk about this great movie. And then you want to talk about free speech. On CBS, they're talking about canceling that free speech segment on the CBS Evening News. Because they don't want, apparently the idiots at CBS, they don't want people like Bill Maher on talking about topics.
Well, it's amazing that they invited him on. Then he said, I want to talk about religion. They said, oh, no, we'll send you a list of approved topics for your free speech segment. I mean, they don't seem to get the irony of that.
Well, yeah, and CBS ain't so left-wing after all. I mean, this is the same network that canceled the Smothers Brothers back in 1968 because they didn't like what Smothers Brothers had to say about the Vietnam War.
Well, I used to work for CBS, and I never was under any impression that it was a liberal organization.
Yeah, and remember, and they fired Ed Asner back in 1982, and his show, the Lou Grant Show, was was still in the top 10, and it was winning all kinds of awards. Of course, he was commenting on what was going on down in Central America. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, this is kind of a tipping point for me. CBS is going to cancel that segment. You know, they don't want any left-wingers or people with populist or alternative viewpoints.
CBS. Media Matters has pointed out that so far, no liberals or progressives have been permitted to be on there. Bill Maher was invited and then uninvited, but no progressives, to my knowledge, have yet appeared on that free speech segment on the new Katie Couric Evening News. Joe, I appreciate your call. You said something at the beginning about the Crook County Jail. Did you mean that intentionally? That's a cool reference to the Cook County Jail. Oh, I guess Joe's gone. That was clever, though. We give you points. 888-5-PETER-B. I want to hear from you next. Lines are open in the free speech zone.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to. Down in Monterey.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread. Try the scones, everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Hello, this is Al Moore with Moore Imported Cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at Moore Imported Cars, located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by Moore Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
A 91 Mercedes 500 SL Pearl Black with light gray leather, 73,000 original miles. This two-owner car comes with both tops, chrome wheels, and CD changer. Specially priced this week, only $18,988.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
How children acquire speech and language is a complex process. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me and two outstanding experts to understand normal speech and language development, when to seek help if there are delays, and some of the advantages of speaking more than one language at home.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza. behind Wells Fargo and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes past the hour. We're midway through the free speech zone, and I need some more free speechers. I got one caller holding, but you could be next at 888-5-PETER-B. And if you want to talk about something besides fascism, you can do that. But I think it's a very important subject, and I'd like to hear your comments. So call me now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And again, my toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. And before we take more calls, I want to dedicate this to Ben in Salinas. He's a passionate guy. He's a deep thinker, a guy who questions appropriately what he sees before him. And I think he does need to lighten up just a little bit. So, Ben, this one is for you, the fictional portion of our broadcast day. A reading from the book of Andy Borowitz. This is available on the web. You can get it free at borowitzreport.com.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend.
And the headline reads, Bush accuses Saddam of poisoning America's spinach, calls vegetables the new front in the war on terror. In a nationally televised address last night, President George W. Bush accused former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein of poisoning America's spinach supply and called vegetables the new front in the war on terror. While offering no direct evidence linking Saddam to the recent tainting of American spinach with E. coli, Bush said the intelligence sources indicated that trying to destroy America by poisoning its spinach is just the kind of thing Saddam would want to do if given half a chance. He added that he would take action to maintain an uninterrupted flow of spinach by releasing America's strategic spinach reserve. Millions of tons of spinach stored in huge underground salt caverns along the coastline of the Gulf of Mexico. Bush's case against Saddam appears to have been persuasive, since a new poll taken after the president's speech showed that a majority of Americans now believe that the Iraqi madman was responsible for the tainting of America's spinach, with a slightly smaller number believing he was somehow involved in the death of crocodile hunter Steve Irwin. In Baghdad, the former Iraqi dictator did not address Bush's accusations, but instead complained about conditions at his trial, telling reporters, "I can barely hear myself think with all that racket outside. Every time I try to launch into an insane outburst, there's some big boom, boom, boom outside that drowns it out. I'm doing some of my finest work here, and it's going to waste." And Borowitz always has a kicker that's unrelated. This one reads, elsewhere, the space shuttle Atlantis planned to return to Earth Wednesday, while Tom Cruise set no firm date. Okay, that's our humor portion quotient for today, and that's from Andy Borowitz. On line one now, we've got Peter V. in Monterey. Hello, Peter, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins. I want to thank you again for not just an inspiring program, but as usual, the informative program.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I wish we didn't have to talk about fascism. I wish it were not creeping over the horizon into our minds.
Peter, I would say it's past the creeping part, and it's really kind of in our face. And if I could, for a moment, I'd like to thank you and that provocateur engineer Matt Renner for sending me the 9/11 Press for Truth.
You got it. Good.
And I would like to add number 15 to the list as a quotation from Patty Kasasa, one of the Jersey girls.
Mm-hmm.
Number 15 is, they lie. They all lie.
Very well put.
Thank you, Peter.
All right. Thank you, Peter. Nice to hear from you, and I'm glad you got the DVD in the mail. Dave and Soledad, you're next here. You're on the air on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, hi, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing good, and I'm glad you called into Childhood Matters last Sunday. I was listening.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool show. Hey, last week you had that fellow that was backing up the commission report or the government's explanation for the collapse. And if you notice, these fellows, they keep referring to this collapse-down theory. They say that orthodox building demolition occurs from explosions going up a building. But if you consider their theory of a downward explosion with each ensuing level crushing the one below it, this takes time. Remember the rule of physics. Any and all resistance will slow a fall. Well, at 1,350 foot in a vacuum, an object takes 9.2 seconds to fall. On page 305 of the official report, the government states the building collapsed in 10 seconds. That's only 8-tenths of a second slower than gravitational velocity.
Right.
Their timeline does not fit. The building could not possibly fall that quickly.
Well, I understand the point, and again, I believe that we haven't been told the truth about what happened on 9/11. I think that there are many interesting and thoughtful challenges to the official story that have been presented, and now we got to do something about it.
We've got to
try to resolve these incredible differences between the official version and the physical evidence, and yet we don't have much consensus in America. And even when people like Matthew Rothschild from The Progressive, and he is a progressive guy, I was disappointed in the positions that he took. And in particular, I did address the offensive remark that because Larry Silverstein is Jewish, to question his motives is somehow anti-Semitic. And I found that part really offensive, reprehensible, and, you know, inconsistent with progressive thinking.
Well, what absolutely quelched me on this Implosion World report is they first start out saying that it's a scientific explanation, but then they very quickly revert into this name-calling and just a totally unscientific attitude. And it's quite obvious that they're a CIA plant. And it wouldn't surprise me if our friend Matt was getting a few bucks under the table from the company himself.
Well, I'm very doubtful and dubious about that. You're welcome to kid about it, but I don't think seriously that's the case. What I do think here is that we have a problem in this country, and 9/11 is a symptom of it. And that is that the truth has been so badly battered and corrupted that we do have kind of parallel versions of data that we rely on as our personal truth. And there is an incredible ravine developing between left reality and right reality in this country. And unless we can unravel the real truth about 9/11, I think that that ravine is only going to get greater. And then we're going to have a problem where we talk past each other, and building consensus, building majority opinion, will become almost impossible.
Well, take care, my friend. We live in very scary times.
We sure do, Dave, and thank you for your call. Now to Virginia in Salinas. Hi, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hello, Virginia.
I listened to your 14 points about fascism, and I certainly agree with almost all of it as being here, but you know, I can't help remembering the problems with name-calling, whether it's liberal, socialist, communist, which did so much damage. I hope we don't only call names of fascism and hope that's going to win the war of the minds.
No, I don't. Well, first of all, I don't believe it's name-calling. You know, name-calling is when you try to trivialize somebody. So, you know, we could make fun of Bush for the way he talks or other things like that. That would be kind of juvenile name-calling. This is a smart analysis of what's really going on, and it is pegging the current events to a standard,
right,
of, you know, a historical standard and a rather independent one. I mean, you know, these 14 points were not written to dovetail with the Bush administration. They were written to describe the concept of fascism, and it happens that every last one of them defines this administration.
Well,
I don't consider this name calling, and if you feel that way, tell me.
Well, it's just that if we stop with saying fascism is here, or the administration is fascist, or we're in danger of fascism, without including a definition or the proofs and examples that you have provided on your program, that is what I think is useless, because it reverts to what has been used against those of us so many years over the you know, over the years.
Well, I sure understand. I sure understand your point. One of the reasons in talking with Larry Britt initially, I raised the question about Bush's use of fascism to define Al Qaeda and others. He calls it Islamic fascism,
yeah.
And I appreciated Larry Britt's candid answer. It's completely meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe, as I suggested last hour, that Bush consciously introduced this term into the rhetoric of the moment as a way of inoculating his administration from charges of fascism.
Well, I think we need to make sure that we don't follow that example by just using the title or the label and not what needs to go with it by way of explanation.
Well, that's not, in a soundbite world, that's not always going to be possible.
Well, that is true.
Yeah.
Thank goodness your program doesn't do just sound bites. And I guess that leads me to talk about something else that you'd asked me to call about, and that is the Declaration of Peace,
mm-hmm.
which is actually, it was formulated in July of this year after the United Nations General Assembly, well, they chose September 21st as the International Day of Peace some years ago. But this year, in July, a number of groups, American Friends Service Committee and others, joined in endorsing the Declaration of Peace, and they're saying that the object of it this year is to establish and complete a comprehensive plan to end the war in Iraq. In July, they were saying that if our Congress people haven't set up a comprehensive way to end the war, that there should be nonviolent steps taken to let people know that we're serious about that. And so that's what's going to happen starting tomorrow, which is the International Day of Peace, September 21st. To the 28th, the week of action, which is saying people shouldn't just sign this Declaration of Peace. They should be prepared to do something. It's good, of course, to go out, and there will be some 400 groups have already endorsed it. San Francisco, I'm surprised that Media Benjamin didn't want, because Code Pink is full of all kinds of suggestions.
Right.
But the idea is for people to actually get out on the streets, and a good many of them are going to do civil disobedience. Because, sadly enough, the only way you get the news about what you're doing is very often to be willing to be arrested.
You're right.
So a number of people will be, and the event that I'm particularly hoping that you will speak about again, or at least announce, is tomorrow night in Salinas, 7 to 8 p.m., candlelight vigil to end the war, and we hope people will bring candles and signs, stop the war or end the war. It's at Blanco Road and Main Street in Salinas.
Thank you, Virginia, and I'm glad you've mentioned it again, and I want to invite all our listeners who can to participate in that vigil tomorrow evening, 7 to 8 in Salinas. Thanks for your call, Virginia.
Thank you.
More coming up in just a moment. There's still a line or two available if you'd like to chat with me. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. And I'm still Peter B. Collins.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Tom Hartman.
So today, ABC News reporter Martha Raddatz says to Bush, why do you keep saying that Saddam had relations with Zarqawi? When the Center Intelligence Report says there was no relation. And Bush replies, and I quote,
I never said there was an operational relationship.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
Yet you have three quotes here from Bush saying Hussein should be held responsible because Zarqawi was in his country. He just comes right out and lies.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Good evening. Checking traffic one last time. We've got an injury accident in Watsonville at San Juan Road at Murphy Crossing. It's an injury accident. Two cars were involved, and emergency crews have just decided to shut down that road. So if you can avoid the intersection of San Juan Road and Murphy Crossing, that'd be a good idea because that intersection is currently shut down. Gilroy Stall, eastbound 152, just west of Dunhill. That stalled truck is partially blocking the eastbound lane. CHP is on scene. And then we've got some road work starting in about an hour. It's in Watsonville. Highway 1 between 129 and Freedom Boulevard. That has Caltrans closing down one lane in each direction starting at 7 p.m. for some pavement upgrades. So expect 15 to 30 minute delays tonight. Traffic is brought to you by Centrum Silver. Centrum Silver multivitamin has essential nutrients which emerging scientists suggest, along with a healthy diet, may help support heart health. I'm Kate Scott with traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Free and fair elections in this country. That's about to be something we'll wax nostalgic over.
People moving up, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll set you free.
In another craven, undemocratic move, the Republicans in the House of Representatives today jammed through a bill that is misnamed the Federal Election Integrity Act of 2006. 224 Republicans voted for it. Three of them voted against it. 192 Democrats, almost all of them, voted against it. Only four Democrats voted in favor of it. It would require a photo ID in order to vote. And if you've listened to this program before, you know that our interpretation of it is suppression of the right to vote by people who don't drive, who don't have a driver's license or other photo ID, and who don't have a passport. Passports cost almost $100 now, and it takes 6 to 9 weeks to get one. That'll suppress a lot of votes. And it's one of those things that is just unconscionable, and yet the Republicans continue to ride this juggernaut and consolidate their power. And this flies in the face of yesterday's ruling in Georgia. A judge struck down as unconstitutional the latest version of a new Georgia law requiring voters to show photo identification. The judge wrote, "Any attempt by the legislature to require more than what is required by the express language of our Constitution cannot withstand judicial scrutiny." He ruled that the photo ID requirement deprives otherwise qualified voters of the right to cast a ballot and adds a new unconstitutional condition to voting. This is in Georgia. Hardly a liberal state. And yet, the Republicans in power ignore what appears to be an unconstitutional measure as they gleefully passed it to try to increase their odds of retaining power this November and keeping it in the future. We go to Ethan in Arcata. Ethan, thanks for holding. You're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, hi, Peter. Hi. Just enjoying this beautiful afternoon here with the best dog in the world.
Oh, great. And what's your dog's name?
His name's Frog.
Hey, Frog.
He's 1-year-old lab mix.
Beautiful.
Anyway, what you were just talking about, Tom Hartman said earlier this morning that it was that they're passing it through under the guise of something to keep people who aren't American citizens from voting.
Right.
Which is just dumb because that's not really the kind of fraud that ever kind of ends up turning an election where there's more than 30,000 people voting.
Well, we had a representative from Common Cause on the program. She said that in the last 5 years there have been 80 cases of voter fraud, where voters who, you know, either weren't registered and impersonated somebody or used some other method to illegally vote, and to pass a law that will disenfranchise millions of Americans who typically vote Democratic, in the guise of protecting us from 80 instances of voter fraud. It's just ridiculous. It's another power grab, and it can't be described any other way.
Of course, and I guarantee you that the corporate media this evening are going to call it, they're going to champion it as if it's some kind of grave threat that a bunch of Mexicans will vote or something like that.
Yeah, you got that right. Yeah.
But what I wanted to call about was you were just talking about the Rothschild article about the World Trade Center falling. I heard your interview with him.
Uh-huh.
It was a good interview.
Thank you.
And I just graduated with a physics degree in May from Humboldt State up here.
Okay.
And I'm familiar with the guy from BYU. What's his name? Jones.
Stephen Jones. He's on leave.
Newspaper and stuff.
Yeah.
And well, there are so many. If you just know the rudiments of static engineering physics, why things stand up and why they fall. It's so clear that the falling of those World Trade Centers in the manner that they fell, they had to be helped down.
I agree.
And I think that Rothschild, I think it's such an easy thing for people to grasp, and such a compelling thing, you know, that if these buildings were taken down, that's the number one, the biggest lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
Ethan, I'm squeezed for time here, and I got a full switchboard. So thanks a lot for your call, and enjoy the rest of your walk with Frog there. Now to Joe in Monterey. Joe, thanks for holding.
Yeah, hi. I appreciate all the insight and information. The other day, just before the coach, you know, who I love his program. In answer to what your caller was just saying previously, the end of the Stephanie Miller program, they read a thing about the insurance links to building number 7 and all that, and I was astounded that never went further. I didn't catch the news source. It was at the tail end of that program day before yesterday. And then also the woman that called in earlier about the definition of fascism.
Mm-hmm.
On the right after the coach's program just this morning, Tom Hartman read the complete manifesto of from Mussolini when he was setting himself up as prime minister of Italy, and it was exactly it could have been today.
Yeah.
And did you catch that?
I didn't, but I'm aware of it. Yeah.
It was astounding the parallels, and that Rumsfeld and them could sit there at that American Legion and say that they're fighting fascism when they're the very description of that.
Well, it is. It's twisted. It's Orwellian, and we need to fight back with the truth and with an honest definition of fascism. I understand Virginia's worry that it'll be, you know, reduced to a soundbite, but we can't, not speak the truth just because it's going to be truncated and then ping ponged back at us.
And then on the Dick Cheney, where I did tape that program and reviewing that, as hard as it is to see him, the thing where they said that they're not worried, that they are sure that they're going to keep the Republican majority in. I don't know if you caught that casual comment.
Mm-hmm.
They're not worried because of this 80% Diebold.
Yeah, they count the votes. They don't have to worry.
So they're not worried.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. I need to jump. Yeah. I want to thank Christine in Santa Cruz for a thoughtful email about fascism. Thank you, Christine. Up next, Sue in Santa Cruz. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Peter. I just wanted to ask if we could get people to call in that lived through the rise of Hitler, and I'm wondering when they can look back and go, oh, my God, you know, what did we do, and this is wrong. And I'd like to get a sense from those people, the Germans, how they talked about that looking back, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, tomorrow in the Free Speech Zone, I welcome calls from anyone who experienced either Mussolini's fascism or the rise of Nazism in Germany.
Anyway.
And I would love to hear their first-person accounts. I think that's a great idea.
Well, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Sue. And Harriet in Santa Cruz, you're on the air. Go ahead, Harriet.
You know, I was wondering if there is a connection. I believe that what we are developing is empire. In other words, we're going into a lot of countries, and we're saying we're doing it to protect ourselves. And I didn't hear the whole program. Someone told me to tune in and listen.
Oh, great.
But so anyway, and one of the things I think that they do in fascism is they say that they're protecting the country. Is that one of the things they
say? Oh, indeed. Yep. It's one of the 14 points.
And the other thing they say, they're going out to spread freedom. Is that right?
That's not actually included in here.
Oh, well, or democracy or whatever it is. And I have a book about global visions. And I was wondering what it has to do, if it has anything to do sometimes, not all the time, but I think sometimes with empire, mm-hmm. that in order to do this war and so forth, Bush is also abrogating so much of the Constitution and so many of our rights that I think that sometimes empire goes hand in hand.
I think you're right about that, Harriet. I'm out of time. Trigger's here, and I got to saddle up and head off into the sunset. And I invite you to Google Lawrence Britt, B-R-I-T-T, and fascism. And you can read for yourself the 14 characteristics of fascism. And see if it...
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The government's health detectives have a new clue, an open bag of spinach found in the refrigerator of a person who got sick in New Mexico. Dr. David Acheson of the FDA says it was contaminated with the same strain of E. coli bacteria that sickened people around the country. He thinks they're getting closer to the source.
To put it in perspective, we started out nationwide. Yesterday we narrowed it to California. Today we've got it down to three counties. Maybe tomorrow we'll narrow further. Ultimately, the goal here is to get down to a field, if not down to a spinach leaf.
The latest tally shows 146 cases of illness in 23 states. Venezuela's fiery president, Hugo Chavez, generated some heat with his speech at the UN today.
Chavez said Americans can quit looking elsewhere for the devil.
The devil came here yesterday.
He was referring to President Bush's appearance before the UN General Assembly,
talking as if he owned the world.
Chavez, through an interpreter, accused the U.S. of domination and exploitation of people around the world. He also blasted the U.S. for trying to block Venezuela from a rotating seat on the UN Security Council. Cammy McCormick, CBS News, New York.
U.S. Ambassador John Bolton said Chavez's remarks don't warrant a response, but then he said,
he knows he can exercise freedom of speech on that podium, and as I say, he could exercise at Central Park, too, but giving the same freedom to the people of Venezuela.
The Israeli foreign minister just spoke to the General Assembly, saying there is no greater threat to his country's values than the leaders of Iran, who deny and mock the Holocaust and speak proudly and openly of their desire to wipe Israel off the map. When Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast, 35 patients were trapped at St. Rita's Nursing Home in St. Bernard Parish, Louisiana. They all died. Today, a grand jury indicted Salvador and Mabel Mangano, the owners of the home, on 35 counts of negligent homicide. They claim that keeping the patients in place with food, water, and generators was a responsible course of action. Congress has approved and sent to President Bush a bill that says emergency preparedness plans should include help for people with pets. During Katrina, some pet owners risked their lives rather than abandon their animals to the storm. Experts have been warning for years that there is no such thing as a healthy tan, but now Dr. David Fisher of the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston says they've developed a cream that turns the skin bronze while protecting against melanoma.